You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
But here's a guy who slaughtered and butchered civilians all over, and military, whoever was in his way. And we have Bernie and Nancy Pelosi. We have them all. They're all trying to say, how dare you take him out that way? You should get permission from Congress. You should come in and tell us what you want to do. You should come in and tell us so that we can call up the fake news that's back there and we can leak it.
January the 10th, 2020, that was President Trump last night at a rally in Ohio, chastising the Democrats, saying if we had told you anything in advance, you probably would have leaked it to the press. Now, of course, that's a speculation, but I tend to agree it probably would have happened, and you cannot have this kind of information leak out. Soleimani already knew we were after him. That's not anything new for him. If you'd told members of Congress that we're going to take him out if we get a chance, he already knew that. So what would be the purpose? All to make Nancy and Chucky feel that they have a part in this. So they went ahead and passed this War Powers Act yesterday. It's a concurrent resolution, quote, that directs the president to terminate the use of U.S. armed forces to engage in hostilities in or against Iran or any part of its government or military, unless Congress declares war or specifically authorizes engaging in hostilities. It's hypocritical. It really means nothing. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said ahead of the vote, we must use this tool, a congressional power, or by our silence, acquiesce to the growth of the imperial presidency. Well, of course, he's speaking again for Pelosi and the rest of the Dems. I should point out, and we're going to get into it in more detail a little bit later, three GOP members voted for it, one a close ally to President Trump. How does he explain why he did it? And in fact, one of the Democrats voting against the War Powers Act basically makes a case that sounds like a Republican. And of course, all of this gets back to after Soleimani decided he could fly from Iran into Iraq after Iranian militants attacked our consulate in Baghdad. And there were Democrats, I'm convinced there were Democrats that were looking forward to this being Trump's Benghazi, so we can use this against him like he did against Hillary Clinton. Well, first of all, those attacking this embassy were not bringing rocket-propelled grenades or anything of that nature. Still didn't mean it wasn't threatening. Still didn't mean our employees inside the embassy and others were a threat. They were, obviously, especially when the Iraqi forces stood aside and are basically joined the Iranians attacking the embassy. But if those Democrats that were looking at this as a possible another Benghazi and it would look bad for Trump, let me share the words of Mark Oz Geist, retired U.S. Marine, who was a member of those forces we had at Benghazi when the attack happened, and he was asked, well, would the attack be handled differently if Trump had been president during Benghazi?
It might have happened, but the outcome would have been completely different. You know, I think President Trump, he had assets responding within less than 13 minutes, and the Obama, Hillary Clinton administration, they couldn't get assets moving towards Benghazi in 13 hours.
Perfect point. Perfect point. They were still trying to decide what uniform should they wear or not wear. I kid you not. And Hillary couldn't figure out what to do. By the way, this alert, U.S. Border Patrol agents told to be on special alert a possible suicide bomber trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border. It may or may not be linked to the recent actions in Iran, but Department of Homeland Security is on top of it. And again, it proves, why we need tight border security. Also coming up in the next 2 hours, Ukrainian jet was shot out of the sky, but who did the shooting? And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is making other Dems very, very angry. And one Democrat is going to upset a lot of kids, proposing to ban cell phones if you're not at least 21. This Democrat's proposal would say you should not have a cell phone. Well, we got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So again, let's talk about this. Here's your red meat for you with a lion roaring in the background. Let's talk about this War Powers Resolution and the hypocrisy of it. The hypocrisy is so clear as the nose on your face, as they like to say. How do I reach that conclusion? Let me take you back to March 19, 2011. Obama launched an air campaign against Libya on that date, March 19. The decision to order the strikes came after the UN Security Council passed a resolution that authorized military intervention in Libya. And Obama moved forward, said that we need to do this to save lives of peaceful pro-democracy protesters who've been the target of the crackdown by the Libyan dictator Gaddafi. He did not have full congressional approval for that. They just simply moved on it. So the question was raised with Nancy Pelosi. Did he need any support from Congress? Did he need to have any reason to have that approved by Congress before he took that action, despite what the UN did? He doesn't answer the UN. He answers to the American public. And the check balance for the White House is not the UN. March 19, he takes that action, and Pelosi is asked June 2011 this question. Listen and hear her response.
Madam Leader, you're saying that the president did not need authorization initially and still does not need any authorization from Congress on Libya?
Yes.
Thank you both.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you all very much. Yes, he did not need it. He did not need it in advance. He did not need it then. He does not need it 2 months later. What is the difference? You know what the difference is. The difference is that was Obama. This is Trump. The hypocrisy is always evident. And I want to share some thoughts, or let him share them directly with you. The Congressman Brian Mast, he's from Florida. He's a retired Army Ranger, a double amputee, lost both legs and I believe a portion of one hand when he was in action, when he came across an IED carried out by terrorist actions to attack and kill U.S. troops under the direction of Soleimani. And so when it comes to Pelosi saying it was okay for Obama to do that and we weren't going to challenge him, the hypocrisy stands so clear to him. Here are his words, Congressman Brian Mast.
Absolutely. Not just with Libya, as Nancy Pelosi spoke about, but also going into Pakistan and any of these other strikes, these thousands of strikes that were conducted under the Obama administration. Not a word was said then. The president goes out and takes this murderer out who's killed our service members, maimed them in all of those ways that I spoke about on the House floor. And they're going out there and they're making excuses. They're covering for this man and somehow saying the president was wrong right for doing so.
That's right. It gets back to, as some have already said, right decision, wrong president, wrong commander-in-chief. The previous commander-in-chief may not have reacted like Trump did. Maybe he would. We don't know. But looking at the way he basically did things, yeah, I'm not so sure. But he did, as Congressman Mask pointed out, carry out numerous bombings without going to Congress. Here we've got the Democrats passing a resolution declaring that Trump violated international law and then trying to reduce his power to conduct hostilities without congressional approval from 60 days, which exists under the War Powers Resolution of 1973, to 30 days. And Democrats talking about defunding any hostilities with Iran. See, that's really where the House has its greatest power. The Congress, of course, has to declare war, but it also has the purse strings. If you don't give the money to the military for those operations, pretty hard to move forward with them. But Democrats raised very few objections when Obama went to war, exceeding the boundaries of his legal authority as president. And again, the most notorious was the Libyan war that he launched in March 2011. No congressional authorization. And he continued the war effort beyond the War Powers Resolution deadlines of 60 days because the administration argued the U.S. was not engaged in hostilities, but leading from behind. I want to hear from Nancy Pelosi again. I want to go back and hear Nancy Pelosi because the president launched that attack, and 2 months later, the question is still, should he need congressional approval? Please listen again to Nancy Pelosi's answer at that time in 2011.
Madam Leader, you're saying that the president did not need authorization initially and still does not need any authorization from Congress on Libya?
Yes.
Thank you both.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you all very much. And again, we've got Democrats that basically describing the Trump successful attack and strike to take out Soleimani as, quote, provocative and disproportionate. Disproportionate to what? Well, disproportionate to the fact that we had an attack on our embassy. We didn't take him out just because our embassy in Baghdad was under attack. We took him out because he has now landed on Iraqi soil in violation of the UN, leaving Iran, as he'd been told not to. And he often liked to go to the scene of where something was building so he could be seen among his fellow troops and soldiers that they loved and revered, that he was there to help lead them. So there was no doubt more actions were going to be taken against the U.S. I don't need evidence that it was going to happen in the next 4 hours, 4 days, 4 weeks. I don't need that. We had enough to take this guy out for what he had done to the U.S. troops alone in the past. 600-plus American troops killed under his direction, not counting all those maimed, which one of them, including Congressman Mast, as we were talking about earlier. And yet you've got the leftists having the attitude that he took out a guy that we shouldn't have gone after this one, this Soleimani. I mean, He was something really special with the Iranian people, like we give a rat's arse. But you've got the mainstream media. Chris Matthews. This is going to, if you're driving, you might want to pull over for this one, because I don't want you to hear this and suddenly go crazy with road rage. I don't want you to lose control of your car. I don't want you to suddenly feel like this could be the big heart attack, because I can't believe I just heard this guy say this. If you're somewhere where you can sit down, you might need to sit down, because Chris Matthews dared make a comparison to this terrorist Soleimani, to Princess Di, and even Elvis Presley in what he means to his people, and that we should have basically had the same reverence for him? Here are the words of Chris Matthews.
When some people die, you don't know what the impact's going to be. When Princess Diana died, for example, there was a huge emotional outpouring. Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general we killed was a beloved hero of the Iranian people, to the point where, look at the people we got pictures of now, these enormous crowds coming out. There's no American emotion in this case, but there's a hell of a lot of emotion on the other side. Should our leaders know what they're doing when they kill somebody?
What kind of question is that? Should our leaders know that they might be one of the most revered people in that country, that they might be someone that they consider the best of the best and someone they adore? Should that make a difference to you if that same guy being adored by the Iranians is responsible for 600 American lives? Chris Matthews, do you dare say that he should be revered by the American public like we did Elvis, or like the Brits did in the world for Princess Di? What the hell were you saying? And his question coming back to the throngs, the thousands and hundreds of thousands that were showing up for his funeral for four different funeral days, as if that shows they loved him so much. Does Matthews not know that many of those folks were either soldiers told to be in the streets, or citizens told to be in the streets, or employees of Iran, or others just said, you better get your butt out on the street. Do not let us see you sitting at home. No doctor's excuse is going to work. I can't resist. I want to hear Chris Matthews one more time with that absurd, ridiculous, hypocritical, insane, and slanderous remark aimed at you, and President Trump.
When some people die, you don't know what the impact's going to be. When Princess Diana died, for example, there was a huge emotional outpouring. Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general we killed was a beloved hero of the Iranian people, to the point where, look at the people we got pictures of now, these enormous crowds coming out. There's no American emotion in this case, but there's a hell of a lot of emotion on the other side. Should our leaders know what they're doing when they kill somebody?
Does it make any sense to you? No, of course it doesn't. And I would dare some Democrat to come forward and try to defend that kind of remark. This is the same group of Democrats that like to compare Trump to Hitler. But Soleimani, he's comparing to Elvis and Princess Di. I want to take you back to some conversation from Congressman Brian Mast of Florida, the retired Army Ranger, double amputee. And what was his thought once Matthews made such a stupid response?
What do you say to somebody that's out there celebrating this killer, this murderer, this person that as we've spoke about, he was the hand that went out there and put the parts of these vehicles through the internals of our service members, blew off their legs, blew off their arms, went out there and did everything that he could to paralyze them, to make sure that they never returned home, that their families never saw him again.
That's the guy that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and those in alignment with it admired and revered. Cold-blooded, stone-killer, terrorist leader, fomenting terrorism all over the Middle East and any other targets they could get to. I I heard those remarks by Congressman Brian Mast of Florida when he said that they were out there trying to maim Americans, trying to make sure they would never be able to go home to their families unless they came home in a flag-draped coffin. And Congressman Mast knows the story at ground zero. As I said, he's a retired Army Ranger. He's a double amputee. He got caught up in one of those explosive devices. This is a guy that now has run for the legislature in Florida. I should say in Florida, to represent Florida. As a Republican, of course. And gave his all to our country first as a serviceman. And now as a member of the Republican Party serving Florida's 18th Congressional District. And then serving in Afghanistan on Operation Enduring Freedom while trying to clear a path for U.S. Army Rangers at Kandahar to make sure the rest of the force would be safe. He took a wrong step onto an IED. They had to amputate both of his legs and one of his fingers. An American hero. I think he has every right to call out Chris Matthews and anyone else thinking Soleimani is such a great guy. And he also has some thoughts about the general media and the Democrats. I'm going to ask you to stick around and hear these remarks from Congressman Mast.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We got some breaking news. The Trump administration is now imposing additional sanctions on Iranian steel and other metals. We'll get into that before we wrap up this hour in more detail, as it's still a breaking story. But again, back to this attitude from the left and the media that carries the water for the left, that Trump can do nothing right and Obama was always correct. You got CNN and NNN's David Gergen questioning why President Trump dared take a shot at President Obama during his Iran speech when he was saying, no doubt Obama monies that we sent to Iran, the money we released, paid for those missiles that were fired on our troops. They don't like that. They don't like it because it's fact. That's the problem. And in fact, Secretary of State Kerry, at the time the Iran deal was signed and the monies were released, I don't care if you're talking about $50 billion or $150 billion, Kerry admitted, yeah, we expect some of that money will be used to encourage terrorist cells and create terrorist actions against U.S. targets. They acknowledge that, and yet they want to just kind of look away from it. Then we had, as you heard a moment ago, Chris Matthews going bonkers, claiming that shouldn't we know who we kill, that he's a revered leader, kind of like Elvis would be a revered person for us. Once again, let's go to the words of Congressman Mast, double amputee, retired Army Ranger, serving Florida. His remarks about how the media and Democrats always react.
Whatever the president does, he's going to be wrong in doing. If he exercises diplomacy to speak to Kim Jong-un or to speak to Vladimir Putin, that's wrong. If he withdraws our troops out of harm's way on the border of Turkey and alongside of the Kurds, then he's wrong. If he goes out there and has a reckoning for this murder of our U.S. service members, then he's wrong. Whatever he does, the other side is going to say he was incorrect for doing that, for whatever the made-up reason is that they're going to come up with.
He's absolutely right. There's nothing this president can do that will be correct. You can go back to that old storyline that if he were walking on water, folks would say President Trump can't swim. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Because whatever he does, find some way to take a cut at him. Michael Moore of the Hollywood Elite, questioning, is there any American general that we would see millions turn out for his funeral? Again, looking at Soleimani as someone really special. Yeah, he was special. He's a special target for us. Another breaking story coming in right now. Pelosi saying she will send the impeachment articles to the Senate next week. We'll get into that, too, over the next portion of today's program. But coming up, I want to focus on this jetliner, Ukrainian jetliner that was shot down, and I'm saying shot down, over Tehran. It took off, got away from the airport. Then there were reports that it was making a turn back to the airport for some reason, and that's why they thought it went down, because of some mechanical issues. It appears most are agreeing it was shot down by a rocket. The question is, who fired the rocket? I've got an expert coming up. We're going to look at that case and a couple of others, one involving a U.S. mistake.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the other night we had a Ukraine International Airlines jetliner, a Boeing 737, flying out of Tehran, and then exploded in midair, 176 killed. First reports, there's some kind of mechanical issue. First reports, Iran was not going to release the black boxes to anyone. And now they are bulldozing over the site. And other reports suggesting parts of a Russian missile were found, a Russian missile or rocket found near the debris. The experts mostly believe it was shot down. Joining us now, John Venable, 25 years with the U.S. Air Force, serving in three combat operations, senior research fellow for defense policy at the Heritage Foundation. John, glad to have you on board, sir.
A pleasure to be with you, sir.
So what was your thought the other day as we first learned about this jetliner going down and all of this taking place shortly after Iran started firing rockets into Iraq?
Well, I got a lot of thoughts. One is it was an incredibly tense evening across the board. And when you think about the politics of both nations and how that was coming to bear in that region, there was an opportunity for mishaps to take place. And the United States did its best to forego those opportunities. And the Federal Aviation Administration issued what we call a notice to airmen, a NOTAM, which basically forbid any U.S. air carrier from flying in the region anywhere in the Persian Gulf. And that kept the United States air carriers out of harm's way. But what was very fascinating was that Iran kept flying, allowing air carriers to take off and land throughout its territory, its land, throughout the evening, while it was lobbing missiles at the United States assets and personnel in Iraq.
Were they basically hoping we would shoot it down?
You know, that's absolutely a potential. Either it was complete ineptitude, or it was with that as the backdrop, hoping that we would have a miscalculation, misidentify, and drop an airliner, giving them the opportunity to put a public affairs nightmare in the United States' lap. So it's great. It's a great point.
And your note, as you said, the notice to airmen, we saw this before, after an incident that had happened over eastern Ukraine in 2014, a Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, 283 passengers, 15 crew killed, and it was shot down along the Ukraine-Russian border, and the battle then was who did it, who's to blame, pro-Russian rebels are those on the other side. But it was, again, a war zone at that moment, and they should not have been flying over that area.
No, completely understand, and I completely agree. One of the things that's really hard in a combat situation is to have the wherewithal to do cross-checks. And if you can think about being an Iranian surface-to-air missile operator, they know that we have F-35s in the region, have had them in there for a while, and they know the United States is very likely to retaliate. So you've got young crews, not combat experience at all, watching their radar scopes with great anticipation. And as soon as they get a radar contact, they're trigger happy because they know the opportunity to hit a stealth fighter is fleeting at best. And so that would be my hypothesis here, is they saw it, they shot it, and then they couldn't get the missiles back.
And there was a report that the plane had departed and then might have been turning back to the airport. So and that look would show it approaching the airport. If that's true, now a lot of that's still up in the air at this point, no pun intended.
Now, it's absolutely speculation. The track that was actually outbound stopped in midair, and this is one of those other markers that's worth noting, is there's a transponder. It's basically a communication set aboard all airliners that will continue functioning after an engine fire, even after the crew is incapacitated, as long as the electronic box is connected to the antennas on board the airplane. And if that gets cut off, the only thing that would stop the transmission is those lines being severed, which makes the idea of an explosion in or near the cockpit that much more probable.
And to that point, I mean, when you have one of that instantaneous shutdown, everything disappears, the question immediately about a missile or rocket, and there were reports that a debris found near the airline wreckage also indicated a Russian-made missile or rocket. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I've heard those reports, but one, you know, this is really the where this goes into a very dark area, a gray area, and I'm not sure we'll ever come to terms with it because Iran has all of that that information and those parts and pieces. They've actually already reportedly bulldozed the crash site, and we in the United States do everything we can to keep that pristine and untouched until safety investigators can get their hands on everything inside of it and then put the accident back together. And what you're seeing is a concerted effort from the Iranians to mask that. If they give the black box, even to the FAA, if they gave that to our safety investigators, there is no guarantee that there'll be any voice communications on it at all, because the first indication that a pilot on board an airliner has that they're being targeted is when the missile goes off. And if that incapacitated or killed the crew instantly, there will be no voice communications to say what went wrong.
And there's nothing on the black box, obviously. It's going to record that it was a missile strike as opposed to everything just shut down.
You're exactly right. There's no sensors, no radar warning indicators on board any commercial airliner that would give you that heads up. And so what we would have is the ability to put the parts and pieces of that accident site together to show that it was or was not a missile attack. And unless the Iranians come clean on this one, we may actually never have that hard and fast evidence.
And the U.S. has also been in that microcosm of the sense that the scope is on them. Back in over Dubai, 1988, an Airbus A300 with 290 on board, blown out of the skies by a guided missile from the USS Vincennes. And Tehran the other day quickly brought that story up and see, the U.S. has done this in the past. They just did it again. And I saw mainstream media pick up that story as if it were a fact.
Yeah, well, this goes back to your previous point. If you know you're going to fly over an area where a combat operation is taking place, you're putting the innocents on board those aircraft at risk. That's what Iran did back during that incident. And that's what Iran did again in this one by not shutting down air commerce, air traffic in their and over their country. They put these innocents at risk, and mishaps take place. And that's what this was a setup for. And while it may at the bottom end of the day be a tragedy and an accident, it was something that was preventable, and the Iranians should be held accountable to that.
I agree fully. One, letting them fly out of their own space, in or out of their space the other day with all this going on, especially after we saw what happened over Ukraine. And then also, as you said, that flight, that Airbus shot down, was an Iran air flight, and we had to admit that it was a mistake on our part.
Yes, we did. And again, that was preventable had the Iranians not chosen to fly directly over that Aegis cruiser. And that put that crew at risk, and they had to make a decision. And unfortunately, it was the wrong decision that day. We know better. And if you look at what happened in the night when this aircraft was shot down, there were no fighters over the top of Iran that we know of. No one ready to take action or make a mistake while we know there's airline traffic abound.
What I do not see from some of the mainstream media, I should say the majority of it, clarification that the points you just made, that Iran never should have allowed commercial jets coming or going during this period. And they could have said, our space is closed to you and no planes taking off.
They sure could have. And there's one more faction here that's at fault, and that's every air carrier that continued to conduct operations during that night. That was irresponsible across the board. And while you can't say that the air crews were at fault here, it comes down to each pilot making that decision on the tarmac at the Tehran International Airport. And so if you back it all up, if Iran had ceased airliner operations and not allowed those aircraft to take off, that would have been a stop. If any of the air carriers had done the same thing with their airlines, that would have been a stop. And if the pilots in command had done the same thing, a lot of pressure on those pilots, but if they had done the same thing, then this mishap wouldn't have taken place.
I study a lot of airplane accidents. I'm a pilot, and again, often it comes to a pilot go or no-go decision is the first wrong step. And whether or not they wanted to go, they did go, and then they became a target. And I'm thinking about all those innocent people on board that they were just put in this fuselage and put up for a target.
It's tragic. So I was a fighter pilot for a long time. I was the commander of my ship and the ships around me, and I knew that that was my responsibility and that my decision was final. The Air Force always backed me up. One challenge with airline pilots is that doesn't always happen. When they make the right decision and it costs the company money, they may be fired for making the right decision because nothing happened. And right. And that negative reinforcement is one that Democrats and folks that are against the administration are throwing at the president right now.
Sir, I'm coming up on a hard break. Can I take you through the break? Can you hold?
I sure can.
We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and we're listening to John Venable, 25-year veteran of U.S. Air Force, three combat operations, Also had served as former commander of the most celebrated Thunderbirds and now with the Heritage Foundation. I'm holding you over on your time, and I just realized I'd also made my fault that we had booked you at 11:20. You were expecting a call, and we took you 20 minutes late. Let me apologize for that first, now interrupting you. But you're
happy to stay with you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. And we were talking as you were going out about how important it is for the pilots, the airlines, everyone else when we operating in any combat region to make prudent decisions. But it's not always done.
No, it's not. And the rewards associated with making prudent decisions are often fleeting, if actually not even punished for that opportunity. And this evening, for example, if that Ukrainian captain had made the decision not to take off because of the hostilities, the fact that he did would have prevented the loss of life of the people on board that airplane. But the fact that nothing happened would have led the company to perhaps charge him with the commerce lost from that flight, and therefore he could have lost his job. Now, as I mentioned before, I worked for a fabulous Air Force, and they always backed me up on my decisions, even when nothing happened because of my decisions. And this is one where the industry and the governments around this ought to take a hard look at it and reward such conduct.
Well, as we pointed out, this is not the first time this has happened, and we've got two other cases we're talking about. One, of course, being in a theater of war, as we were talking the Malaysia Airlines flight from 2014. Then again, where an Iranian airliner came into our sights over Dubai when we had tensions high. The only connecting thing that exists is that they all involve a mistake at some point, and unfortunately, we had to bear the mistake on the one we shot down over Dubai, but they again were in territory where they shouldn't have been.
Right. And so the idea that humans are going to make mistakes is something that everybody just chafes at. And so they try to automate systems. And no matter what you do, the opportunity in a situation like this, even if everything was automated, the opportunity for that airplane to have been lost because of the decisions that were made by the government of Iran still would have been very, very present. And it goes back to them. It was either ineptitude or the hope that the United States would have made the same mistake that missile operator from Iran made that night. All speculation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I was going to say there's one thing, of course, as jetliners, private craft transmit on the transponder, an assigned code. If this jet had a code they were transponding, would that show on the radar, even for the Iranians? I mean, or again, they're just looking at a blip and they can't tell by that blip or the speed is moving as to how big it is, what kind of craft it is.
As you and I both know, a transponder in the Air Force or in the defense industry is called an Identification Friend or Foe Mechanism, IFF. And as I understand it, that SA-15 site, the radar associated with it does have the ability to interpret that and can see that it is sparking a code. But as I mentioned earlier, the timing associated with an attack by an F-35, they would have had a very hard time detecting the presence of an F-35, and just getting that fleeting contact would mean that bombs were on the way, and the only way that SAM operator could protect himself was by downing that airplane. The fact that he was compressed in time and had no combat experience very likely led to him pushing the button to kill that airline, as opposed to taking the time to do that cross-check, that cross-reference with the transponder that you're talking about.
Now, jets, we see often video of jets, they can evade, roll and twist and evade maybe a rocket launch down them. A commercial airliner can't do that for the speed and everything else, but on top of that, they probably never saw it, or correct?
I'd be willing to bet you dollars to donuts that they didn't even know that they were being targeted, not until the weapon detonated, and very likely they didn't have time to think about what had just happened before they were lost.
such a tragedy. Listen, I
completely agree.
Yeah. Again, John, I really appreciate it. I apologize at my end again. I had communicated your folks would have you on a lot earlier. Thank you for being understanding and also giving us additional time, sir.
My pleasure, and my hats off and my heart goes out to all of the families who lost loved ones over this mishap. It was a tragedy.
Was indeed. Would love to have you back in the future, sir.
I'd love to be back. And my best wishes to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. John Venable, Senior Research Fellow for Defense Policy for Heritage, 25 years in the U.S. Air Force. As I pointed out, he had served in 3 combat operations, 16 locations around the world, forward air controller, fighter pilot, staff officer, commander, and, as I also added, former commander of the most celebrated Thunderbirds. It was good to get his insight on what was done right, what was done wrong, and what could have been maybe averting a tragedy, but it didn't happen that way. Coming up in the next hour, let's take a closer look at who voted for and against this War Powers Resolution, and why did a main supporter for President Trump say, I'm going to vote with Nancy Pelosi? Because that has a big issue still around it, and I think you need to hear. And also about the Democrat who said, I'll vote on favor of Donald Trump. Coming up, please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.